Praise the Lord. Welcome to Battle Cry. This is Jim Green speaking. And today we're going to continue on our topic, Can a Christian Have a Demon? Isn't that exciting? Let's look into the Word of God again today and let's just examine some more scriptures. But before we go into that, I've got a couple letters that we've received. And I just want to read a few portions of them and let you know some things that are being written to us. And as we was coming up for prayer early this morning, we found a package at our front door. Had some tapes and a very good letter in it. And I'm going to let my wife just read a couple little excerpts here out of it. And then we'll continue on with our study today. Now, here's Lila.
Praise God. Thank you, Jim. This morning, the Lord was very good to us and really blessed us as we were in prayer. And then as we came up the stairs, as Jim said, we found this package on our doorstep. And I'd like to read a few little portions of this letter. It says, Dear Brother Jim, I praise God for your deliverance ministries and for your radio program. I almost thought this message would never come to Sacramento, but praise the Lord, He is faithful. This is a letter of testimony and a witness. At my conversion into Christianity in 1974 and the beginning of salvation for me, the Lord cast seven devils out of me. Shortly thereafter, my pastor's wife took me to a deliverance ministry. She looked at me and said, I've never seen anyone as possessed as you. Take into account I had been delivered already, accepted the Holy Spirit, and began talking in tongues. The Lord never let me get settled into the tradition of the church world, which makes the Word of God of none effect by their tradition. He is a God of power, not tradition. He began immediately to take me into sanctification of the spirit of my spirit and began to lead me into obedience through the cleansing blood of Jesus as I could bear it. Praise God. Now we have another letter here. And then she says something else. She says, why aren't other people coming this way, his way of deliverance? They talk about it a lot, but won't enter in. Praise God. You know, this lady poured out a three-page typewritten letter to us, and it was a very beautiful thing. And in it, she shared many of her experiences that have happened to her by coming before God and letting the Spirit search her heart. And you know, that's what's missing in this hour, is people willing to come before God and let God search their hearts. You know, people, if you will come off your religious high horse, and if you will get into the closet with God, and if you will begin to seek His face and cry out to God and say, search me, O God, and mean that from the depth of your hearts, I tell you, people, God will remake you, and He will show you that you're not what you think you are, and He will show you that you're nothing but clay, that you're nothing but dust, and that you're nothing without Him, and that only through His cleansing power and through His sanctification can you be made anything at all. You know, so many times we want to pass off our wood, hay, and stubble, and we want to say that it's gold, silver, and precious stones. But you know, when you stand before God, you're going to find out that all the rubble that you've tried to pose as God is not God. And all of the things that you've said are the Lord, and all the little blessings that you say God has given you, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to find out that maybe Satan blessed you to keep you from moving into God. You know, God is calling forth a people in this hour that are going to be willing to lay their hearts on the altar. And you know, it's easy to sit back and pick and criticize and backbite and devour. But you get out there and you put your heart before God, and then you'll find out that you're not where you think you are. And you know what? You'll probably get saved all over again.
Amen.
Praise God. Salvation is a continuing process. Here's another letter that we received, which is very encouraging. It says, Mr. Jim Green, greetings in Jesus' name. I received your package and was pleased. I have read most of the material and it is very good. Very good. Yes, there are alcoholic demons, nicotine demons, lust demons. Yes, it is my belief that Christians can have demons. I lay my head on my bed at night and cast demons out of myself often. They can be dormant and deceitful as Satan himself.
Amen.
Then this person goes on to say, Jesus told us to be servants. And He told the apostles to be servants, not like big money-crazed preachers. There has been billions of dollars made off the bleeding wounds of Calvary. I preach the gospel to the poor for free. It grieves me to see thousands of people going to football and baseball games and other demon-possessed sports and forgetting God their Creator. So I just thought I would drop you a few lines and encourage you to keep up the good work. May the good Lord bless, prosper, protect, and always keep you and yours. Yours in Him, Reverend Neely. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Isn't it good to have some testimonies of people that believe in deliverance? My God, it's surprising how many believers there are sitting in churches that's unbelievers. And this is what God has endeavored me to do, is go ahead and rip the mask off traditions. Tradition says a Christian cannot have a demon. Impossible. Well, I'll let you know the Bible says they can. And I don't know why people get so upset when we talk about this. We're talking about something that people can be delivered from. We've seen such miraculous change in people through working in deliverance, it's unbelievable. I never saw this kind of change as we traveled the religious circuit. And let me tell you, we traveled around. We've been in 10, 11 different countries. We've been in practically all the United States. We held all kinds of positions in the traditional church circles. And let me tell you, when we come out of that, God said, come out of there. I'm going to bring you into a prayer closet with me. I tell you, when we came into this dimension with God and began to experience deliverance, we have seen more changes in people's lives than we ever witnessed back there. And all that sloppy agape, the charismatic, jumping up and down, hooping up, Jesus rock, all that. We was into all that stuff. You know, it has its place, but I'll tell you what, why don't we go to battle against the very thing that's causing people's problem, and that is Satan. We overlook that. And I'll tell you why. People are afraid. You know why they're afraid? Because they know they don't have much power, because they're living, half of them, living in sin and compromise. But brother, if you lay your heart on the altar and you let God deal with it, and you have a relationship with God, you don't have to fear the enemy. You're not afraid to confront demons and cast them out of people. And fear and ignorance and pride keeps deliverance out of churches today, I'm convinced. And who's behind it? It isn't God, folks. It's Satan. Praise God. So I am going to rip away his mask, and I know a lot of you out there are really getting a hold of what I'm saying, and you know you have to do it time and time again. You have to talk about it. Praise God. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing, and by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God, right? It's easier to believe a lie that we've heard 10 times than believe the truth we've heard but once. And this was new to my ear when God told me about this going on 4 years ago. It was new to my ear, but you know, I tell you, results, proof is in the results that we see. It will change your life, deliverance will. And people say, oh, you're just lopsided, you're unbalanced, you go off the deep end, all you talk about is demons and devils. I have you to know, that's not all I talk about. We've got a very good sound message here of the army of the Lord being overcomers, walking in dominion, discipline. We talk about the bride of Christ. We talk about coming into full salvation, a higher love. We talk about the weaker vessels, talk about faith. Praise God. We talk about Kingdom of Eunuchs, Man-Child Company. We talk a lot on dominion. Got 8 or 9 tapes that we've taught on that. We talk about ingredients for miracles. We do talk about sending curses back. We talk about how to be trained as a soldier. For God's sake, we're supposed to learn how to be trained as a soldier on the battlefield. And I'm beginning to see there's two classes of Christians. There's civilians and there's soldiers. Civilians, of course, they're selfish. They sit back and want to feed their own self and enjoy their own life, go on their own vacations and be very selfish. Soldiers are wanting to defend their country and protect their fellow citizens, and that's the difference. God has called me to go into the army, and bless God, I've got a heart to help others. If you want to live in an ivory tower theology, you go ahead. But I want to expound the Word of God just the way it is in the Bible. And, of course, our subject has been for probably going on a month now, can a Christian have a demon? And to me, this is just a subject that's needed to be talked about. I've talked about many other things. We talked about the rapture theory, how that's holding God's people in a place of false hope. And people say, oh, Jim Green, you're taking away my hope. I'm not taking away your hope. Your hope is in God. If we walk with God, we'll be with God. But if you're living for the world, if there was a rapture to take place, you'd miss it. That's not taking away your hope. Our hope is in overcoming. It says, he that overcometh, he that endureth to the end. We have an overcoming walk, an enduring walk to walk in this life, people. It's not one of living for self and luxury and TV and movies and all this kind of stuff that Christians are hung up in. Entertainment, to go to church, get entertained, lullaby to sleep. The pastor's giving them a bunch of leftovers, something that God did 50 years ago. Listen, God's got fresh food for you today. There's fresh things coming from heaven. There is fresh revelations. And a man wrote me the other day, says, well, is this casting out of demons a new revelation from heaven? Of course not, it's new. It's been around since the beginning of time, practically. It's new to me, but it's not a new revelation. Praise God, it's in the Bible. So, I'm just going to take us today in a few scriptures here, and let's just look at it, shall we? Let's just see, can a Christian receive another spirit once he's born again? Now, we know for sure, and it's been proven out time and time again, a Christian that has been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, can still have spirits carried over from his previous walk. Whoever said that God delivered us of everything? Our sins was forgiven, but who said all the enemies were going out of the soul realm? Our spirit was what was saved, folks, not our soul. Our soul must be saved. Now, this is what needs to be worked, and we need to drive the enemies out of the soul. What did Israel do when they went into Canaan land? They drove the enemies out, and they possessed that land, and they occupied that land. God did not kill all the enemies when they crossed in Jordan. It's the same in our inheritance. We have an inheritance, Christ Jesus. But there's enemies, powerful armies, fortified cities within this land that must be destroyed, casting down imagination, just uprooting the enemy out of the land, casting them out, and us possessing that land until we come unto full salvation, until we totally have been saved. Body, soul, and spirit. We must be born again. That happens at salvation. Our spirit that was dead towards God was born again. Our soul must be converted. It must be born again. See, it must be saved until Christ reigns fully in us. He doesn't want us to be carnal Christians. He wants us to be spiritual Christians. If you're a carnal Christian, then you just live for yourself and tack God on top of it. But let me tell you, God is dealing in a dispensation of perfection this age. And we better get down into some business and face facts that we got a lot of work to do. You know, we've been fed this compromised pudding in churches long enough. Leftover, spoiled milk, rotted meat. It's about time we get something fresh. And it's up to the pastors to seek God to feed it to us. Can you say amen to that? I was fed leftovers a long time and compromised pudding. Well, let's not shake the boat. We don't want to offend brother so-and-so. Let brother so-and-so get offended. Bless God, if he's living in sin and not walking with God, let him get offended. I'm going to preach the truth if it hair lips the devil, and it does. Let's talk about 2 Corinthians today. That's another scripture. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians 11 chapter verse 3 and 4. Father, we just pray over the Word of God today that the people's eyes would be open, their ears would be unstopped, they could perceive these truths, God. We could go beyond the tradition of men that has been passed down as truth that a Christian can't have a demon. Let us see that we can have problems within ourselves that can be overcome and cast out, and we can walk in freedom to know you and to love you in a greater way. In the name of Jesus, amen. This is my desire, Christians, is to tell you the truth where you can see some of those problems you have within you, not without you, within you, could be demonic problems that could be eliminated if you would cast those stinking things out. And yet we want to blame it all on the flesh. It's all the flesh. Well, let me tell you, we do have flesh. We do have a carnal will. And our soul is a soulish realm that must be converted. But I want to tell you what. There are problems we have. It goes beyond, quote, the flesh. That's why God put the discerning of spirits in the body of Christ to discern those spirits. He didn't say discerning of flesh. He said discerning of spirits. We are to cast off the works of darkness, and we're to cast out demons. It's a twofold work. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 11 chapter 3 and 4. Now this was Paul speaking to the Corinthian church here. He says, but I fear. Now Paul was not fearing in a sense of being afraid of Satan. He was afraid of something. What was he afraid of when he wrote to the Corinthians church? Let's look at it. Lest as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, notice, if ye have received another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Now what do we see here? Here Paul plainly shows us that it is possible for a Christian to be corrupted within their minds through the reception of another spirit. Now this is what we're seeing. Now the word that he uses here is very significant and will shed much light on this issue concerning can a Christian have a demon. Now, this is just one scripture, mind you. We've been through many. But let's dissect this one. I'm sure most of you have read this and passed over. Now, the words received, receive, and receiving appear approximately 280 times in the King James Bible, okay? However, in the Greek text, there are only 19 different words which are translated as receive, or some form of that word. Now, the Greek word for receive, as Paul used here in Corinthians, is lambano, L-A-M-B-A-N-O, that's the word. Now, this word appears some 125 times throughout the New Testament. Now, it's not even half of the times the word receive appears. Okay? But it's interesting to note that this word denotes an inner reception in the sense of receiving knowledge, but particularly it's used when it speaks of anyone receiving the Holy Ghost or some spiritual gift or blessing. That word receive. Okay? Now, this is the word lambano. It means like when they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, He came inside of them. He didn't come on top of them, okay? Inside. Let's get this right. I've heard people say, well, devils can oppress us from the outside, but not inside. Well, who says that? Oppression, people, is a feeling from the inside, not outside. It comes from within a person. Oppression does, and depression, it's inside, it's not outside, have you to know. And it's like receiving Jesus as a Savior, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, receiving the gift of tongues, receiving spiritual blessings, receiving gifts. It came on the inside of the believer, not the outside. Now, it's the same word used if that it was possible that they could receive another spirit, which means another spirit could come on the inside once they were Christians, because he was writing to Christians. I hope I'm making this very plain to you. Now, it doesn't mean to just allow something into your presence or to be closely associated with something, all right? Understand that. It's like, well, we can receive it, but it don't come on the inside of it. Then you have not received it according to this word. It comes on the inside. Now, it shows us plainly that we as Christians can full well receive another spirit in the same way as we can receive the Holy Ghost, and that by yielding our desires and thoughts to Satan, we can receive another spirit. Just as we yield our hearts to God, we can receive blessings from God. Now, that's the scripture that you ought to check into. Praise God. Now, Paul goes on to say that through this reception, it is possible to have our minds corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. People make this thing complicated. It is not complicated. They give all the arguments why you can't have it, and they can't come up with one substantial scripture to prove that it's possible or that it's impossible. See? They try to get all these arguments and all the scripture together, and none of them make a bit of sense in the context that a Christian can't have a demon. Praise God. So we can be corrupted from the simplicity that Jesus, all he did is said, it's possible you can receive another spirit, cast it out. Now what's more simple than that? Why did we have to make it complicated? Why do we have to get in theology with this thing? We don't have to. See, our minds is a seat of our intellect. Okay, we know that. Now, through our mind, we think, visualize, and imagine. Now, all Paul is saying it's possible that through this, receiving another spirit, we can have our mind, the way we think, the way we imagine, the way we visualize, corrupted. And in the end result of that, we can express fear or some other type of thing there by receiving another spirit. Now, is that what the scripture's saying? I didn't twist that around at all. I didn't twist it. Check into it yourself that it's possible that you can receive another spirit. He wasn't talking about another flesh. He said another spirit, and a spirit is an entity. And he wasn't talking about the Holy Ghost, because he had already said not the spirit you'd already received, because they had already received the Holy Ghost. But he was talking about another spirit. And we can receive another gospel. Let me tell you, there's another gospel being preached behind a pulpit today. It's a gospel of prosperity. God wants to bless you. God loves you. So therefore, you can continue on in your sin. Part of that is true. God does want to bless us. God does love us. But let me tell you, God is a God of judgment and war. Why is not this being taught today behind pulpits? It keeps people in a place of compromise, lukewarmness, stagnation, dead towards God. The goppy, sloppy, agape gospel going around today. Oh, God loves you. Yeah, God loves us, but He doesn't love sin that we commit. He doesn't love our half-heartedness. And this is what we're trying to get you to wake up to, that God is a serious God. He's in the dispensation of perfecting us. Unless we are told the truth, then how in the world are we going to know what to do? Now let me go on a little bit here. Let's go to Galatians. I'm going real fast here. I'm trying to get all this in a half hour, but I'll do it. So just pardon me for stumbling over some of my words. Praise God. And beside that, I've been fasting 8 days, and I'm a little bit slow on top of that. Galatians 3:1. Now he's writing to the Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Now what do we have here? What do we have here? We have the Galatians here that has been led astray to the point that their wills are being led around and held in a place of disobedience by something that has bewitched them. Now, what is the word bewitched, people? This word bewitched means to be misled as by an evil eye, so as to charm or bewitch. Okay? Of course, I've been accused of being a false prophet and a false teacher and a cult leader and all these things. I thank God for persecution. I'm getting free advertisement anyway. But let me tell you, we can be bewitched to a point where our wills can be subjected to a lie, and we can begin to believe a lie and lose completely out with God. Now, if it was impossible for a Christian to be bewitched, and of course the will is part of your soul again, has nothing to do with your spirit. Praise God. We can be led around by bewitchments. And you know the church has been led around years by false doctrines, such as the pre-tribulation rapture. That is the most ungodly doctrine I ever heard. And I believed it for years. Until one day God said, that's a false hope for my people. It's not true. You know, I began to check into it. I found one scripture to back it up. God has always led His people through tribulation. And yet we think because we're 1984, we're going to escape God's tribulation. No way. We're not talking about God's wrath. That's for the unsaved people. God's tribulation is for the people, for the church, to perfect us, to take out the spots and wrinkles. And God knows this church in this end time needs to be washed, for heaven's sake. It is filthy. It's living in sin. It's a harlot. It's got to be cleansed. You can't tell me that we don't need to have be taken through a tribulation period, let God work us over and get us ready to be a bride. Oh yeah, we need to be cleaned. Fuller soap on top of that. The junk in churches you find today, the sin going on, pastors too, living double lives, lying and cheating, committing frauds, laying up with some of their saints, and the saints laying with other people in the church. For God's sake, what's going on anymore? And yet we think we're going to make a rapture. It's got to be a joke of the century. Let me tell you about it. God has got a surprise in store for you to believe that. You'd better get down to business. And you're going to be surprised one of these days when you're faced with a tribulation period that God is going to zero in on your little sins and He's going to pinpoint you down. We think we're going to escape and we can live one foot in the world and we go to church and lift our hands and praise God and we go right out and commit sin, live all week for ourselves and not consecrate and dedicate our heart. You've got to be kidding. You think God's going to have a bride out of that mess? He is going to have a bride spotless, folks. With white linen on, that is a righteousness of the saints, not unrighteousness of the stinking flesh and of Satan. I tell you, we had better stop listening to traditions been passed down and begin to seek scriptures ourselves. Let's go to one more before I close. Acts 5:3. Most of you know the story about Ananias and Sapphira. They were Holy Ghost-filled Christians. They were not pagans. Now, what happened to these people? Peter asked him, why has Satan filled thine heart? Now how in the world could Satan fill a Christian's heart? If we can't receive another spirit and Satan can't come inside of us, how come Satan come inside of them? I'd like someone to explain that to me. Satan filled their heart. Why? They opened a door through the area of greed. And then they end up lying to the Holy Ghost. Now tell me, did Satan come inside of them? It didn't say that Satan filled the outside of their body or came in a form of oppression on top of their head. It said it came inside and filled their heart that they lied to the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Satan had an entrance through them, through their disobedience of lying and for greed's sake. And let me tell you, every time we open the door for Satan, spirits can come in. We invite them in. Praise God. And I just want to mention in passing here a few common spirits that we have dealt with numerous times in Christians, by the way, such as bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, stubbornness, criticisms, fears of all kinds, loneliness, envy, fantasy, despair, anxiety, headaches, jealousy, suspicion, confusion, procrastination. That's a good one. You're wavering. One day you'll go for God, next day you won't. Pride, intellectualism. Let's just intellect the Bible here. Let's just get our intellect together and just try to reason why it's not possible to have a demon. That's a spirit in itself. Lying. You mean Christians lie? Well, you tell me. Arrogance, sorrow, tiredness, compromise. Brother, I could spend hours talking about the compromise I have witnessed among the Christian community, and you can't tell me God is promoting that. God is not promoting compromise. Satan is. All right, let's talk about some little addictions here, shall we, that Christians have? I have to laugh when people say a Christian can't have a demon, but yet they go suck on their cigarettes and pollute their temple. They say all light and darkness can't dwell together with the temple of the Holy Ghost. No unclean thing can come in, and they'll sit there and suck on them 5-inch filthy cigarettes, taking all that smoke in their lungs. And I just have to laugh at them. They're making a fool of themselves. Alcohol. Oh, I only have a couple beers. Well, that's between you and God. How about drugs? I know numerous Christians are on drugs. They smoke marijuana. They pop pills. Some of them's even on crank, heroin. Come on now, let's get serious. I've dealt with these people. Christians. I'm not talking about sinners off the street. I'm talking about people in churches. And I know there's a ministry in this city that promotes Jesus rock music, and a lot of those people sit out in the parking lots and make dope deals. See, how do you know that? I know that. Now, come on. Where is a consecration that we're supposed to be getting into these days, that we're supposed to be living with as Christians? How about caffeine? Some Christians are so hooked on coffee, they can't get up in the morning and go to bed unless they have 14 cups of coffee to keep their nerves calmed down. Why don't you get deliverance? You won't have to have your nerves calmed down. You see what I'm saying? If we would face reality, we'd see a lot of these common things here we pass off as the flesh is nothing but spirits, folks. There are spirits that come inside of us and cause our problems. Let's go to the root of the problem. I'm not unbalanced in this thing. I do believe there are physical ailments that naturally comes upon a person. I don't believe everything's the devil. God help me. I don't believe everything's a demon. But I will not neglect to point it out when I know there is one too. I can't say it's all the flesh. They say you overemphasize demons and you neglect the flesh. Well, let's look at your side. You overemphasize flesh and you neglect demons. Let's get a balance in this thing. Praise God. Well, my time is up. I hope I plowed through some more territory with you. And next broadcast, you've got to tune in because I'm going to talk about the unpardonable sin and how it's in relationship with deliverance. Don't miss out. It could change your life. The unpardonable sin. Maybe you want to read into that and see what that is. And I'm going to be talking about next broadcast. Praise God. So those of you that are getting hold of this message, you run with it. You seek God, and you let God show you that what I'm saying is of God, and it's in the Bible. You study your Bible. Praise God. So I'll see you next broadcast. God bless you.